in 2080, I intend to be hiking, playing with the grandkids, and dancing around at 90 years old. And I'm hopeful technology will allow us to do this, but I'm very hopeful the technology and the research, whatever we may have available for us today, may help us get there. For the past several months, I've been really excited to take Timeline, which is a Swiss-based life science company, a global leader in urolithin A research. And they spent 10 years doing research to bring this product to us, to the market. And urolithin A is a powerful postbiotic that is nearly impossible to get from your diet alone. And MitoPure is their first product to offer a precise dose of urolithin A to upgrade your mitochondrial function, increasing cellular energy and improving muscle strength and endurance. And MitoPure is clinically shown to give our cellular energy generators new power by triggering the body's natural process for removing and rebuilding damaged mitochondria called mitophagy. So all you have to do is take two soft gels, or maybe even use their berry powder every day for 2 months, and you can see significant improvements in your cellular energy and in your muscle strength and endurance. And then after 4 months of taking MitoPure, you'll feel yourself getting stronger and recovering faster after a workout and experiencing less inflammation, all part of your healthier aging routine. And MitoPure is the number one doctor recommended urolithin A supplement that is NSF and Clean Label Project certified. So it is time for you to add Timeline to your daily routine. Look on their website to see the research and the testimonials for yourself. Timeline is offering 10% off your first order of MitoPure. Go to timeline.com/magic. That's timeline.com/magic.
Knowing that the yoga practice and the mindfulness practice, it never has to look a certain way. It does not have to be perfect. And I think for myself, once I learned that it didn't have to be a certain way, I was more consistent. I didn't require quiet. I could stop and start if my kids needed me. I didn't have to do an hour of uninterrupted anything. I could do it in pieces. So taking that pressure off that it has to look a certain way or be a certain way made me free to actually have a practice. So I think that the showing up is the power. And once we know it doesn't have to be perfect or quiet or crazy intense or complicated, then you can be successful. It takes all the other pressures away.
Hello, welcome, welcome to Your Own Magic, a podcast for the creative and the curious soul. And today I am beyond thrilled to introduce a guest who I feel may become a dear friend. And I mean, she's a true inspiration. Her name is Jessie Bennett. We instantly connected. You're going to, of course, love her wisdom, but also her energy, I must say. She is not only a mama of two, but also a published author and a wellness expert. She's a dedicated yoga and Pilates instructor with over 14 years of experience. In fact, she began her Pilates and yoga back in her college days at USC, which same, some similarities there that I just was like, okay, I get why I really like her. I get why I feel connected with this woman. And her mission is one that resonates with me deeply, to inspire children to believe in their power, to make the world a kinder and more gentler place. And Jessie has written and illustrated 4 beautiful children's books, soon to be 5. And each one is a reflection of her passion for kindness, both toward ourselves and others. And her books include mindfulness practices, yoga, guided meditations, and breathing exercises designed not only for kids, but for parents too. And in this episode, we explore her creative journey, how she integrates wellness into her family life, and the ways that we can all embrace kindness in our everyday routines. We chat about the power of breath work, how yoga can be a tool for both children and adults. Plus, for all the mamas-to-be, Jessie shares her expertise in prenatal yoga. Oh my, and I have to share this disclaimer that I didn't do a proper sound check and I accidentally used my headset microphone instead of my proper amazing microphone. Man, I was so bummed, but you know what? It doesn't take away from the fact that Jessie had a great sound and had wonderful nuggets to share with all of us. So I still think you're in for a treat, and I apologize for my oversight. And with all that being said, I believe it is time to let the magic begin with Jessie Bennett. And Jessie, I just want to thank you again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I have to say that I'm so amazed with this life you've created for yourself, being a yoga instructor, Pilates instructor, children's book author, and you also illustrate the children's books. That's phenomenal. I'm very impressed.
Oh, well, thank you. It's just fun and I love it. And I feel like if I can do it, the message I always love to put out there is if I can do it, anyone can do it.
That's a great message. I've been wanting to write a children's book for a long time and there's a lot of things I've been wanting to do for a long time that I just haven't. So I think maybe this might inspire me. Because I have a lot of questions for you.
Hey, I feel like if that seed is planted inside of you, I hope that it just inspires you to go for it, because if it's there, your story needs to be told too.
I love that message. I don't think I'm the only one listening right now who feels that way. I know a lot of people have that spark, whether it's a book or a children's book, and you've done it. You've done it and you've done, this will be your fifth one?
Yes, I'm just about done with my fifth one. And I think it's just that thing of you have that spark and you keep going with it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the only difference between me having a book and you're on your way now.
That is amazing. So what is lighting you up most in this season of your life?
Oh my goodness, my kids. My kids are really my biggest inspiration. They really are. And how I want to show up in the world has so much to do with how I want to show up for them and the world that I hope that they can step into.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, how many kids do you have?
I have two kids. I have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old. They have been on this journey with me from my first book on, and they're the ones that inspire me to create and write, and they're a huge part of the process. They're my editors. They'll tell me if it works or not.
I'm going to definitely ask about your process.
Yes. It's so fun. And everyone has a different process, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also motive to actually do it. And it sounds like you have the greatest motive, which are your kids. Yeah. Can you share a bit about your journey and what inspired you to become a children's book author and also a wellness expert as a yoga and Pilates instructor?
It all ties into just wanting to be your best self and inspire others to lead with their hearts and lead with love and kindness towards themselves. And I was finding, as far as writing, I was a kid who was always doodling and making comics. And then once I had kiddos, I realized I was buying wellness books for them or books about self-love and shining their light. And then I thought, wait, I think I can make something like this. And that's how it started. And I originally wrote my first book around a bunch of doodles and a meditation I wrote for my daughter who was having a hard time falling asleep. And I just read that meditation every night for about 6 months. And I realized it worked. It connected us. It helped her calm her mind and body. And then I thought, why not just make some doodles around this? I'm buying these beautiful hardcover books at Barnes & Noble. Maybe I can make something that she can hold and my son can hold for them. So I just kind of went with it, having no idea what I was doing, using markers and crayons and colored pencils and just creating without any idea of what the end product would look like. And I had so much fun through that process. I didn't want to stop.
Good for you. I love people feeling the nudge, hearing the nudge, but actually taking the action to execute whatever that nudge is. And what is your process, by the way, since we've been talking about process?
I have a super simple process. I have a sketchbook and a pencil, and I usually just write down notes, things that inspire me. I tend to write in rhyme, which is just how it works for me. So I'll write little things. And then I'll make little doodle ideas. And then once I feel like I have a bunch of little ideas, almost like a brainstorm web, I'll start organizing them. And then I'll start doodling. It's very fourth grade brainstorm. It must have really settled in there.
The best year.
Yeah, totally. And then I just get my sketchbooks at Target, and I get all my supplies at Target. And I do that partially because everyone has a Target and or can get it online. And I want kids to know that if I can create with my own kids' markers and colored pencils and blank sketch pads, if I can do that, then they can be authors and illustrators. So that's really, I do it simple partially because it works for me, but also because I want other people to know that it's just about you're inspiring you and your ideas, and the tools you're using don't have to be fancy. They just have to be, you know, from your own toolkit.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And what do you hope that children and parents take away from your books?
I hope that kids feel empowered to love their light and shine their light and know that they're loved. I want my books to feel like a hug for them. Mm-hmm.
That's your overall vibe, by the way.
You know what? That's your vibe. So the second you popped on, I'm like, I want to hug her. That's my hope. And for parents, I love it. For parents, I hope that they can use my books as a tool to bring mindfulness into their homes and know that it does not have to be complicated. They don't have to know yoga. They don't have to have any prior experience, but they can sit with their child. They could read. They could do some breaths together. There's always a little meditation in the back, a little toolkit, ways to connect. And so I hope it inspires that feeling that kids feel loved. And when they feel loved, then they can be kind out in the world.
That is amazing. I'd love to hear more about how you incorporate mindfulness and breath work and yoga practices in general into your children's books.
Oh, well, you know, in the back, sometimes my books start with the meditation, and in the back, especially my first book, it starts with Breathe With Me. And I do this with my kids every night. We take a big breath in and a big breath out just to calm our busy mind. And that's how that meditation started. So that's something that's really anchored in, is just taking that big breath in. And in the hardest moments we've had, you know, as a family, our breath, I always tell them it's their superpower, and it connects us, it calms us, it soothes us, and it can make this busy world just feel a little bit more grounded. So that's a huge component that we use at home, and the power of self-talk.
Don't you sometimes just look back at your childhood and wish that you incorporated these practices as a child or knew about this? Of like, my mind would be totally different right now. My perspective on reality would be even more easily grounding and calmer.
I completely feel you on that, because growing up, I don't feel like I was that kind to myself. And I don't know, I think I was very hard on myself. And so if I can just help kids just foster a little bit more of that self-love and see the good in themselves, and then I feel like I've done something.
Yes, then you're winning at something in life. I also love that, because not only will they be kinder to themselves, but I mean, bullying is a huge issue, and they'll likely be kinder to others, or at least be more compassionate to others who might be living a completely different life than them.
It's so true. It is so true. And it always starts from within. And so if we can just do one little thing to help them tap into that, or see the people around them with a little bit more empathy and inclusion, it can only help.
So for the mamas and the papas listening right now who want to do at least something for their child every single day to help them listen within and tune within, what are some practical tips that you could share with them right now?
The first practical tip would be, let's set our phone aside for just a few, right? So I think that's a huge one, so that our kids know that we're looking at them in their eye and just really checking in with them. And for my kids, I feel like connection and hugs and just taking a few big breaths together, that is huge, because they know I'm there with them and for them and their biggest cheerleader. So especially for the parents out there, it doesn't have to be a complicated mindfulness connected practice. It can be sitting with your kiddo with the technology to the side, looking them in the eye, taking a couple big breaths together, reading a book together, and just scratching maybe a little below, like a little below the surface, just to see how their day really was, so that if things can come up, you can talk about them.
What are some questions you ask them when you scratch below the surface?
I am blessed to have kids that tell me every moment of their day at school. So I'm so grateful for that. But I want to know how they really are. And so I try to ask questions that aren't yes or no questions.
That's good. And then they also probably have a sense that you're not going to judge them or maybe interrogate them too harshly.
Right. There's no judgment. And so I I always want them to know whether it's a big, wonderful, huge thing that happened in their day that's positive or something that was really hard for them, that either way they can come to me and there's no judgment, so that I'm just an open door and their biggest cheerleader. I want to be the one clapping the loudest.
What a special relationship you have with them.
Oh, thank you. I'm very lucky because they make it easy to do that.
Do they have a favorite practice that you've incorporated into your books or you do in general?
Every single night they request the meditation from the yoga house.
They request that?
Yeah, it's so funny. They each have their own room, but they sleep in the same room. And we go to sleep every night and I read that meditation. Now I know it from memory. And we listen to the same playlist every night. It's like a lullaby playlist. So it's just part of, I've made a very long nighttime routine. I've made this very hard on myself.
But rewarding.
It is. It's really wonderful. And so they actually ask for the meditation every night. And I'm so grateful to be able to share it with them.
That's amazing. So it probably helps them with their sleep, but also perhaps their anxiety.
Yes. And I mean, that's really where it started. My daughter, especially when she lays her head down, the whole day comes. Like it just comes crashing in, and big thoughts and maybe scary thoughts and things that made her nervous throughout the day. And so it's not that I don't want her to feel all the things, but we work on taking those thoughts and allowing them to kind of continue on like clouds and not pull them in and not absorb them, so that we can have a little bit of, and then we bring the breath in so that she can just drop into the moment right now. So we do a lot of breath work to calm those busy thoughts.
Do you mind? Now, you can say no and I can edit this a little bit out, but do you mind guiding us through an easy breath work?
Oh, for sure. I'd be happy to. I just taught a yoga class, so it's right here with us.
Perfect. It's with you still.
Honestly, one of the simplest things I do for my kids, there's a couple ones, but I do it for myself. My husband does it too, but simply we place our palms up, and that's just a natural way to, it tells our body and our mind we're okay. So we take a big breath in with palms up and we lift the palms to the sky, and I call it the hot air balloon breath for kids. And then I hold at the top, and as I exhale, I just press our hands down. And it's just a beautiful way to feel your own energy grounding. So I do this a lot with my kids.
I love this.
Simple.
Yes. And it's called the hot air balloon technique.
I call it a hot air balloon breath. That I have it in my second book. And it's just a way, especially when I teach kids yoga, I just have them picture a big hot air balloon going up and coming down.
And it feels very natural and engaging as well. It's something that people would be willing to do on their own time.
Totally.
Because some breath work can sometimes be intimidating. Like, I don't personally want to wake up every day and do intense fire breath.
Yeah.
That's just me. I know some people are so down to do that.
I don't either.
But this is more accessible for me.
Same. And sometimes when I count my breath, I find myself getting a little nervous. So I just like a nice free breath. And I always tell my classes, if you're breathing and have a little mindfulness around your breath, you're doing it right.
Oh my gosh, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Also, your books highlight the idea that yoga is more than just a physical exercise, which I also can't emphasize enough. How do you incorporate mental and emotional aspects into your teachings?
I really try to honor each person and what brought them to the mat, and knowing that their time with me, I'm so honored that they took some time with me. So to just incorporate a little beyond the poses, it is honoring their journey that brought them to the mat and welcoming them however they showed up. I don't know what their morning has held for them. I don't know if it was hard for them to make it. I know some mornings I've had a really hard morning. And so it's actually made me a more empathetic instructor. So honoring where they are and knowing that they are welcome exactly as they are, and whatever comes up is welcome. And I don't have to do too much guiding as far as bringing anything extra in, because I feel like when you welcome people as they are, all of that will show up.
Aww.
Because they're comfortable to be.
I have a feeling you're going to cherish this. Have you heard of Artifact Uprising? Well, Artifact Uprising wants to help you preserve your meaningful moments this holiday season. So whether you want to say, I love you with the perfect gift, or display favorite memories in your home, or even connect with loved ones throughout the year, they have a product you can personalize. And my beautiful cousin Chelsea, her wedding is coming up in October, so next month, and she didn't have a guest book yet, so I decided to create a stunning one for her using Artifact Uprising, and they offer so many options, so I was even able to fit her unique aesthetic and make the process incredibly easy. And Chelsea sent me a bunch of photos that she wanted to include, and so I did, and I used their clean, bright interface. It was so seamless. I was able to edit everything seamlessly, and I customized the sizing on each page to make it truly unique. And the result, I just have to say, is absolutely gorgeous. This quality is top notch. I couldn't be happier with how it turned out. Even their lay flats are hand glued, so they are long lasting products made to cherish. And they have a beautiful, innovative design, which is at the forefront of what they do. And their books, they're timeless, and they're just meant to be shared. And you can tell, I mean, the high quality printing methods on their photos, they are clear and vibrant and able to stand the test of time. And I'm excited for everyone to be able to write in the guest book something loving that Chelsea and her fiance, sweet fiance Ryan, can cherish for the rest of their life. And Artifact Uprising has been around for over a decade and have years of experience in high quality printing techniques. Just wanted to point that out there. From baby board books to coffee table books, even frames, calendars, cards, photo prints, other kinds of photo books, a variety of wedding options. There's so much to choose from. So now's the time to take advantage of this deal. Artifact Uprising makes it easy to tell your story through the end of the year. Your Own Magic listeners can give Artifact Uprising a try and get 20% off for new customers or 15% off if you have purchased before. Just visit artifactuprising.com and use code MAGIC through December 31st. That's artifactuprising.com. And use the code MAGIC at checkout today. My magical friends with allergies, this is for you. Or if your child happens to have allergies or someone you're close to deals with it, listen. Imagine a life without sneezing, itchy eyes, or avoiding your friend's house because they happen to have a cat, which I've been there, done that. Thanks to Curex, allergies are no longer something you have to just deal with. They're optional. And who is Curex for? It's for patients with allergies, asthma, sinusitis, and eczema. And Curex is America's largest online allergy clinic and has changed the lives of thousands of people. Everything is 100% online, and you'll connect with a licensed doctor via Zoom or text, and Curex will ship custom medication right to your door to get you going on your journey to becoming allergy-free, which I love that for you. And myself, I mean, I've dealt with allergies my entire life since I was a child, and it has only been amplified with the change of season when I'm in Utah, especially during a pollen-infested summer. And so I definitely need allergy medication to just breathe and chill. And sometimes when I'm around a cat who's an outdoor cat as well, it flares up, which is a bummer because I love cats and I want to be a cat lady, but this hasn't changed since I was a child. Over 100 million Americans suffer from allergies, and they're not just an inconvenience. Allergies are the number one reason people miss work. They can really mess with your life, like wanting to move in with your partner, but being allergic to their dog or cat. Not fun, right? And so here's the good news. Allergies can be treated effectively, and you can make allergic reactions a thing of the past. All it takes is a couple of allergy drops every day, and in just 3 to 6 months, you could start feeling real relief, and it's easier than brushing your teeth. And these allergy drops are trusted by doctors and backed by science with hundreds of studies from top institutions like Harvard Medical School and the Mayo Clinic. In fact, in Europe, allergy drops are the go-to treatment for allergies. You can treat allergies to pollen, dust mites, mold, and even cats and dogs. Amazing. No one should be allergic to cats and dogs. Curex is America's largest online allergy clinic, and the New York Times says they are changing the landscape of allergies. I've seen the reviews and they're incredible. Like this one from Lisa Cox. Curex has been a godsend to me. Has been easy, painless, and effective. The staff and doctors there have been wonderful, kind, and understanding, as well as being accommodating and fantastic to work with. I'm never going back to any other allergy docs. So if you're serious about kicking those allergies to the curb, check out Curex. Treatment starts as low as $59 a month, and if you sign up now, you can save 80% off the $49 sign-up fee. Go to getcurex.com today for this limited time offer. Don't let allergies control your life. Take control with Curex. Go to getcurex.com. That's getcurex.com.
That's so true. And also, sometimes when you're in class and you're not, you feel like maybe you're not doing quote unquote as well as you did the day before. Mm-hmm. It's so nice to have a teacher who's very compassionate and reminds you that you're going to be different than you were the day before.
Right. It's such a nice reminder that the power is in showing up, and it's beautiful, but it's not always the same.
Exactly. Also, what are some simple yoga practices or exercises that parents can do with their kids to help them promote positive self-talk and also emotional regulation?
Super simple for parents and kids, just a crisscross applesauce. They can sit cross-legged and then lift their heart up. And I always tell kids this when I visit schools, but when we sit up tall, we can breathe deeper. We feel more confident. Our heart is open. Our shoulders are down. So it's not only good for the inside, but it's also a sign of connection and respect for your teachers or your parents. So just even to do a simple seat together, roll our shoulders down, let the day or the morning wash off of you, and just take little neck rolls. It's so simple, but I watch my kids because I'm always stretching and moving, and they've done yoga with me so much. And when they do it, they're like, oh, it feels so good. So it's nice that even sitting cross-legged and taking some circles with your body and reaching up and stretching one arm.
That's one of my favorites.
I love it too.
Circles.
Like it never has to be complicated. I'm not one that can turn myself into a pretzel. So for me, it's so much more than the poses. It's just about moving and breathing.
Period. Do you have a favorite yoga practice that you like to do personally?
My favorite yoga practice is if I can wake up early at 5:30 in the morning and bring a cup of coffee into my little yoga studio and light a candle and stay on the ground like a seated yoga flow at 5:30 in the morning with coffee is my absolute jam.
That is amazing. There's something about 5:30 a.m. yoga. I woke up at 5 a.m. and I almost went to 6 a.m. yoga today, and I just stayed in bed. And now I'm like, why didn't I do that?
Oh, I know. It's so hard. That's why I'm like, I'm going to do a yoga where I'm not even standing. I'm going to stay close.
Bed yoga is also nice. It's also very nice. And you also teach kids yoga, right?
I do. You know, when I teach kids yoga, I go visit schools, and I'll do yoga at schools, and I'll read my book. So I'll kind of incorporate movement and reading a book because they can get their wiggles out, feel really good, and then they can sit and I can read to them.
Oh, wait, that is so great. What is it like when you're teaching them yoga? What kind of yoga do you do for the young kids?
I love letting them get silly and moving around and not making it too structured. But I will say that they love moving to music. They love a good yogi squat. We do a lot of things clap and then act like animals and just get silly so that they know that yoga isn't something that's way out there. It's just something that they can tap into. But after we do that, kids are amazing at getting quiet and calming down once we get the wiggles out. And they're very receptive to that breathing, the hot air balloon breath. I have another one called the Take Five breath that I love to share with them. And
the Take Five breath. What's the Take Five breath?
It's so easy. So if you imagine you're giving someone a high five, which I love to do, and then you trace your hand that's out with a high five with your pointer finger. So you take a big breath in, and when you reach the top of the finger, you breathe out. And it's just so simple. And with kiddos, you could say, smell the roses as you rise up, and then blow out a birthday candle, just any visual that helps them, and you switch. But it's just a nice thing because they can see it, they can touch their fingers, but you can really feel the breath. So my kids do that one too.
I'm doing it right now.
It's nice, right?
Yes. My godson's 3. Aww. The cutest, smartest boy ever. Sometimes he's wild. And so for my best friend, his mama, love to hear some yoga practices that will help calm a 3-year-old, if you have any in mind.
Yes. Well, I'm just trying to think because I've seen so many kiddos do all the things we did, the circles, but also I'll do like big, almost like yogi squat jumping jacks. So I will let them get that wild out and that Yeah, like ramp it up. There's some really fun yoga music for kids. I will send it to you. And so they can act like an animal and get all their wiggles out, but then they can also turn it into positive affirmations and doing a pose for each affirmation. And there's so many things that you could use to light them up. And then once they've done that, then I feel like they're ready to calm it down.
Very, very wise.
But sometimes the wiggles come out first.
You got to get the wiggles out first. What if they're resistant to participating?
Then if they're resistant, which has happened a lot when I visit a classroom, I just keep going. And then sometimes I realize the ones who are the most resistant after I visited the class a bunch of times are the ones who request it.
Really? They realize they might need it.
Yeah. The first time might not be a success, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I never take it personally. I'm like, they're kiddos. If one part of this lands, great. If not, it's all good.
So you just keep going because there's other kids there that are going to participate and then hopefully they'll join in one day.
Exactly. We just keep going. And then I'm always surprised at the kids who are like, oh, can we do this? And I'm like, really? You enjoyed that? That's fantastic.
That's awesome. And you don't have to force them in time at least, right? Or you don't even have to force them at all, which is great.
Right.
You shouldn't.
Right. They'll come along as they're ready or when something inside them needs that. But I just hope that even if they're not participating on the outside, maybe some part of them on the inside feels a little bit more loved or accepted, or they can hear some positive affirmations and it can touch on something that they might need.
And even though we're going to be going into fall, it's still summer. And I saw that you do affordable summer workouts. What is that like?
There's so much we can do just stepping outside or being at a park. And so I've done a lot of workouts just outside because I have no problem hitting a yogi squat anywhere. You can use the playground. You can do push-ups on the sidewalk, like just elevated push-ups. You can do squats, lunges. So I just encourage, like, if you want to move and you can't get to a gym or it's too expensive or you're at the playground, you know, with family or friends, there are ways to incorporate movement that'll make you feel good. And when you feel good, you're nicer to 100%. Yourself.
So true. And it's summertime. It's time to be outside. So yes,
it is. We got to soak it in. I'm in California. Where are you located?
Utah. I'm in Park City, Utah.
Oh, amazing.
It is. It's so perfect here right now. But sometimes in the summer, I'm in Palm Desert, California. And though I love Palm Desert so much, man, the summertime is not the place to do outdoor workouts there.
Definitely not. Unless it's at like 4 a.m.
Yes, exactly. Maybe 6 and you're still kind of stretching it.
Yeah. That's so funny.
What are some benefits of practicing yoga and even Pilates? Because we can't forget that you're also a Pilates instructor in an outdoor setting compared to the indoor environment.
There are some things that are just so wonderful when you practice outdoors. There are benefits to both, and I love them both equally. I teach inside in studios, and so when I get to do something outside, I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
It feels so natural to practice yoga outside. Like, I love that. I love the feeling of feeling a little bit of breeze, but I'm also a shade dweller. I'm a redhead with freckles. So I'm like, if it's too sunny, I'm like, get me back in.
I'm so fair as well. I'm the same way.
But it is wonderful to practice yoga and Pilates outside. I mean, anytime we can move in nature and just feel a little bit more connected, it is so good for the soul. I feel like so many benefits. And what was the question in studio?
That was it. Yeah. Just compared to you answered it, being outside versus inside. Yeah.
There's something about wherever you are rolling out a mat, it's like your own little sanctuary. So whether it's inside or outside, it is going to make your day better.
And ground you no matter what. Now, I would love to talk about prenatal yoga. What are some key benefits of prenatal yoga for expectant mothers?
So many benefits. I practiced through both of my pregnancies and I taught at a really cool prenatal studio through both of my pregnancies. And so things felt better when I was practicing yoga. My hips felt more open. My chest felt more open. My inner thighs felt more stretched. I mean, your life is literally bringing you forward. And so to be able to just counter that a little bit, to open up your heart, to stretch where your belly is coming forward, to stretch your low back, your hamstrings, it's so beautiful. I love working with pregnant mommies and I loved practicing when I was pregnant. So there are so many physical benefits to just stretch and open and One thing I loved that was the biggest surprise to me is I just loved feeling my muscles strong. Like, I loved to challenge myself when I was pregnant. I was not fragile, and I didn't want people around me to feel fragile or that I was. You know, the pregnant women I practiced with when I was pregnant, like, we felt really strong. So I think it's an opportunity to not only make, you know, your physical body feel better, your hips, your back, your shoulders, all the things that are affected by this growing life in the best way, but also just to be like, wait, no, I'm really strong, and I'm training for this, you know, I'm training for life after I have the baby. And so I'd always tell myself this is an investment for after as well.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. What are some moves or poses or exercises that expecting mothers can do? I want to share this with my bestie who is my godson's mother. She's also pregnant right now, and I want to do some prenatal yoga with her.
I love that. There are wonderful props that can support an expecting mama. So bolsters are amazing. And to have a bolster for pigeon where you can create space for your growing baby and then support your pigeon is so wonderful. So pigeon's a great hip opener, and it's safe during pregnancy. So I love those hip openers. And I love sitting on a bolster or a pillow or a yoga block, pregnant or not, but especially when pregnant, because it lifts your hips above your knees and creates space for your belly and your hip flexors. So if you can lift her hips up above her knees by sitting on something a little higher than her yoga mat, it'll just make her feel more spacious. It's hard to sit up tall.
I'm trying to visualize where the bolster goes.
Underneath your tush.
Okay, underneath your tush. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So like if you sit on it, it just lifts you up and it just creates more space.
Okay. And then how does she do pigeon with the bolster?
So what she would do, she could do pigeon with it a couple ways. She could put it right in front of her so she can kind of go over it with her upper body.
Vertically, or have it?
Yes, vertically.
Okay.
And then she could also place it underneath the side. Let's say her right knee was bent into pigeon. She could put the bolster underneath her right side to just support her right side body as well.
Oh, yeah. Right. And it would be probably more of a seated pigeon versus a lying down pigeon.
Yes.
You're standing.
Supported up as much as you need it to be, which is great. And you can use all the props to support you. I'm a huge fan of using all the things.
All the things. I love yin. That's my favorite yoga.
Awesome.
But yin and restorative. Oh, I'm always excited to go to a yin class.
Me too. I'm like, this is just going to feel so good.
I always feel like I'm walking on cloud nine when I walk out.
Yes. Totally. I know. I'm like, am I fit for public right now? I may have just fallen asleep.
Oh, I have fallen asleep actually in a restorative class.
Yes.
Twice.
I think I have as well, because it's just like, oh, and then I'm like, oh my goodness, I am in public right now. I think I need to pull it together.
It's what you needed. That's why I tell myself, I'm like, I clearly needed that. I'm good.
Yeah.
Hopefully I didn't snore.
That's so funny. I love it.
Also, how do you keep your wellness practices accessible and inclusive for people of all backgrounds and fitness levels?
I think it's so important to be inclusive and have everyone feel welcome. And that's my biggest goal, really, is that my room is a welcome one-room schoolhouse. In my classes, I have everyone from active agers who are 80 plus to college kids home for the summer. And my hope is that every single person gets exactly what they need, feels successful, feels seen, and I can find a practice and options that meet everyone where they are. So they leave feeling like that was exactly what I needed, whether they are active agers or headed out to like a sorority party, everyone gets something they need. So I think it's very important when you are leading a class to know that everyone is welcome in the space, and you never know what someone's coming to the mat with, something light, something heavy. And so it's a huge honor to have them with me for the amount of the class time I get.
Yeah. I'm sure you have plenty of regulars.
I have some really awesome people I get to see every day. I love it.
That's awesome. Also, what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out with a yoga or mindfulness practice, whether it is for themselves or, and this is probably a separate question, or with their children?
Just keep going. So knowing that the yoga practice and the mindfulness practice, it never has to look a certain way. It does not have to be perfect. And I think for myself, once I learned that it didn't have to be a certain way, I was more consistent. I didn't require quiet. I could stop and start if my kids needed me. I didn't have to do an hour of uninterrupted anything. I could do it in pieces. So taking that pressure off that it has to look a certain way or be a certain way made me free to actually have a practice. So I think that the showing up is the power. And once we know it doesn't have to be perfect or quiet or crazy intense or complicated, then you can be successful. It takes all the other pressures away.
So true. So beautifully said. Also, now you're going to have plenty of time, by the way. We flew through these.
Okay.
This is the last question that I ask all the Your Own Magic guests. How would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Oh, I love that question. I think to create your own magic, first of all, I have no doubt you help people tap into their magic. And I think that it starts with taking that big breath in and owning your own unique light and knowing your voice matters. And what you put out in the world is uniquely yours, and you're not an imposter. The world needs your light, your voice, your take on things. So to believe in your power and worthiness to be you and know that the world needs you. So to tap into their magic, I would just remind them that they're worthy and deserving and needed.
That messaging is so beautiful, so beautifully said, Jessie, and also so true. I love the power of the breath, and I love the power of just allowing yourself to move and be, and also be with your children. I think that all the messages that you shared today were just so valuable, and I hope the mothers listening and also the future mothers listening and whoever's listening, I'm sure they got a lot of nuggets of wisdom today. So thank you so much, Jessie.
Thank you so much for having me. I've absolutely loved chatting with you.
Yomies, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.